Hey, everybody. Another edition of the Baseball America Hot Sheet Show. It is myself, J.J. Cooper, along with Jeff Ponce and Jesus Cano, and we are talking rookies. We're talking call-ups. We're talking rookies today because here we are. We are now at the point where we are the 2025 MILB season, regular season, is over for rookie ball, for low A, for high A, for double A. Another week of triple A. But really, we're kind of bearing down the major leagues now because that's where we still got plenty of action to go. In addition to, we'll talk a little bit about postseason and minor leagues as well. But let's jump into the first move. So, Jeff, the Blue Jays have a certain rookie, certain starter making his debut. And I would say that you have been watching Treya Savage kind of all the way up through his college career to the Blue Jays. Here he is. I think one thing that Blue Jays, but I think fans in general want to know. So what should we expect when Trey makes his debut tonight against the Rays?
Yeah, you know, I think number one, the biggest question for me kind of going in that I can't answer is how many innings or how many pitches he's really going to have initially. They've kind of limited his starts to sort of like one time through the order, you know, maybe, you know, 12 to 13 sort of plate appearances, somewhere in that range over the last couple of weeks. It could be because they're trying to save some innings up for Savage, you know, for the stretch run here. I think more than likely he's probably going to start some of these games, stretch out, give Shane Bieber some of these other guys, because they do have a fairly older, more veteran starting rotation. So getting those guys some extra rest, I think also, you know, potentially handling some bulk work here and there, could be on the playoff roster. I think still one of the biggest questions with this Blue Jays team, though they have reinforced it somewhat since the deadline, is the bullpen. He can add some strengths there. But I think the really exciting thing when it comes to Savage is just straightforward the stuff. It's a real over-the-top arm angle. It's kind of an unusual, almost like catapult sort of motion. What that does is it generates a lot of ride, much more than the average arm does. I know that, you know, Ellie Ben Porat, our colleague, does the StatCast standouts. He wrote a little bit about Savage this morning. And he made a really good point that I sort of want to focus on here, because I do think it's something that you're going to see quite a bit, especially early in his starts when he tends to lead with that fastball before setting up his secondaries. And that is, it is a really high arm action. So there is an element of expected ride when you see a guy who's sort of, you know, over the top like Savage is. That said, he still generates such a high level of ride that hitters are not used to seeing that. And he does hide the ball well. So I think you're going to see a guy sitting, you know, mid 90s. We always know with some of these debuts, guys are jacked up and juiced up. So maybe he's a few ticks above, has maxed out this season at 96.7. It wouldn't shock me to see him hit 97 or 98. Average this season, this is throughout all levels of the minor leagues, and he's played at all of them. 21 inches of induced vertical break with a heavy amount of cut, so not a lot of arm side. It's a straight over the top profile. I think the really interesting thing, though, about him with his secondaries is he throws a slider, he throws a splitter, and he throws a curveball. None of his secondary pitches move glove side. Neither of his breaking balls move glove side. From time to time, there'll be a little bit of glove side movement on the slider or in the curveball, but they actually have like arm side run on both of those pitches, which is super unusual. Slider's a little harder, more of a high 80s, almost sort of cutter type of pitch. The splitter is his go-to bread and butter. That's been since he was at ECU. That's a plus secondary offering and a big swing and miss pitch. And then he'll mix in a curveball as well, though he hasn't thrown it much since he was in Dunedin. He's only thrown about 30 curveballs this year. So really interesting look that, it wouldn't shock me if the first time lineups see him, if they struggle with him a little bit, because he is so unique in comparison to other arms that are in the game.
You hit on this a little bit, but I still want to ask you the question kind of a little bit more explicitly. This is a Blue Jays team that is going to the postseason. And if you said to me right now, like, what are their concerns that I would have if I'm a Blue Jays fan, if I'm the Blue Jays front office, it's somewhat, okay, how's this pitching going to shake up? Kevin Gausman, we're good. Like, I don't think there's any concerns right now with how he's kind of fronting this rotation. But you kind of look at, okay, do we have enough arms in the rotation that swing and miss arms? Do we have enough swing and miss arms that we can rely on in the bullpen? Is how much do you think this is potentially like, okay, this is a couple of innings, get his feet wet, you know, to go into 26? Or how much could this be an audition to maybe be a factor of some sort in some sort of role in October?
Yeah, I do think that this is reinforcements. I don't think it's just an audition. They're battling two teams in the Red Sox and Yankees that just have not died off or really fallen off at all, especially here down the stretch. You know, they're both within striking distance within the division. I think especially for the Blue Jays, when you consider their strength being the starting pitching that they have and having so many veterans that can give you really quality starts in a playoff series, you know, they want to get that first round bye. They want to be able to go into a series where they don't have to play a single game playoff. I think that's, you know, the shorter series for them are just, you know, not going to be an advantage. So I think this is all hands on deck. You know, this is simply one of the best players that they have available to them. It's reminiscent in some ways of David Price with the Rays when they made that run. I believe it was in 2008 when they first called him up. It was kind of out of the bullpen and as needed, a guy that could air it out, that was unusual, that could get swings and misses. And they had no concerns that he didn't have either major league quality stuff or major league quality command, which I think are two things that Yesavage has shown in AAA, but really throughout his entire professional career thus far. And even last year at ECU, I mean, this is a guy that went toe-to-toe with Chase Burns against a better lineup in Wake Forest and outpitched Burns in a big moment. So I think they know that he's ready to sort of handle these kind of moments. And, you know, for this team, I think it's maybe an audition a little bit, but I think, you know, it's to help the team. That's the reason that he's up right now. And there's a good chance that, you know, he could be on the playoff roster as well.
I will also say he did pass the IQ test, as this tweet here lays out. He had the option of shutting down for the season and going to the big leagues. He decided to take the chance to go to the big leagues, which I will say, can't imagine. But, you know, anyone who said, nah, I think I'm good here, I'm shutting it down, it's been a long season, appreciate it, heading home, you know, that would be failing the test. That's a very important test to pass. Pretty easy one. That's not an open book test there. But speaking of that, we have another top prospect who also was presented with the opportunity to join the big league club. A couple of weeks ago, it was said, okay, if Bryce Aldridge is coming up to the Giants, you'd have been saying, is this to just get a taste, you know, a sneak peek, as we were saying, to get ready for 26? Nowadays, no. Nowadays, I would say, hey, the Giants are still in the playoff race. Credit to them for bouncing back. And so they're bringing in reinforcements. And what you are getting here is big time power. Now, there are some other concerns. We'll get into those. But Jesus, when you talk about Bryce Aldridge, you are talking about a guy who, honest, you know, can hit the ball about as hard as anyone in the game, right?
100%. And I think it's also fitting. I'm based out of Phoenix and he's going to make his debut here at Chase Field. So I will definitely be going down to Chase Field to go watch him make that debut, especially having seen him on the backfields earlier this year when he was going through a rehab assignment. He was playing in extended spring training and you hit it right on the nail, JJ. I mean, you look at this guy, 20 years old, the way he's built, and you're right. You know, you mentioned about, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago, you know, would have been for experience. And I actually covered this in our September call-up story as hopefully a player to see his call-up, and that all came into fruition. And you see where the Giants are at in a position right now. You don't call up a guy like Aldridge for, of course, for experience, but also there's something more beyond that. This is a guy who's going to give a lot of impact at the bat, heart of the lineup, position-wise, you know, playing first base, mainly, you know, could be at the H2, depending what they want to do with Rafael Devers and that whole carousel of infielders that they have going on. But you just look at the swing, you look at the picturesque motion that it really delivers and the quality of it. I mean, this is a guy that's going to make a huge impact. And I mean, there's this, you know, pretty exciting call-up with the Giants going on and just the unexpected turn that they've taken as the, you know, as they chase that postseason spot.
You hit on it also, though. He's also going to be one of the youngest players in the big leagues when he comes up. And I would say more than a Trey Yesavage, more than some of these other prospects who we've seen who've just come up, I would say that this is not a finished product yet. To Bryce Eldridge's credit, he's made big strides this year. Now, one of those that I've brought up a couple of times that is kind of almost crazy to bring up with a first baseman, but first base is a tougher defensive position than a lot of people may think. Bryce Eldridge was unplayable last year, 18 errors last year, and really even April of this year, 5 errors in April of this year. His hands are not good. This is a two-way player who kind of the general idea was that this was going to be a dominating pitcher until very late in his amateur career. That has gotten better. He is now pretty reliable there at first base, but if you're talking about how's this going to work, if he's playing, I would say it's probably going to be more Devers at first base, ideally, and him at DH, then vice versa. But Jeff, the thing that does jump out here, 95.0 mile an hour average EV since he got to AAA. That is tied basically for the highest in AAA with a guy named Roman Anthony. If you look at guys with 100 or more at-bats, plate appearances in AAA, there's some swing and miss here. There are some holes that probably he'll always have because he's one of the biggest players. He'll be one of the tallest players in the major leagues. But when he connects, he also could, Jeff, he could set some giant records. You could see some balls that leave the park.
Yeah. I mean, you know, granted, there was a guy named Barry Bonds that probably would have set all these Statcast records if we had that data and those tracking systems available to us while he was still playing in that park. But I mean, you know, it is a tough place to hit the ball out of. I think we know that. He has the kind of power that there's no parks in the world that are going to keep this guy in, right? Like, you know, he has the ability to connect, as you said, you know, when he really catches the barrel, he has the ability to put the ball 430 feet on a consistent basis. The miss hits, that sort of thing, I think are really going to boost him, especially in that park where it's cavernous. He can run a little bit too. Bigger guy. You know, the sprint speed is usually pretty good once he's underway, you know, maybe home to first times, that sort of thing. He's not going to blow you away, but longer strides, all that sort of thing. He's going to hit a lot of doubles and a lot of triples in this park too. With how hard he hits the ball, some of the power alleys there and his ability to hit some of those gaps too, weird caroms off of that brick wall, et cetera. I think, you know, the upside here, just in terms of, you know, what he could produce from a slugging percentage is going to be, you know, pretty eye-popping. Now, I think the skills are going to be a question mark. There's going to be a lot of swing and miss. But I do think that he's a guy that could run, especially early on, like a low 30s, high 20s sort of K rate and be really, really successful. He just needs to make that amount of contact. This is one of those guys where the power and, you know, the ability to backspin the ball, the approach, all that sort of stuff is there. If he's making enough contact and he's past sort of that threshold that you need to be successful in the major leagues, he's going to be really, really successful. And, you know, I think, you know, right now they lose their first baseman in Dom Smith. There is an opportunity for, you know, Eldridge to sort of Wally Pipp that job and just run with it and, you know, be the first baseman for many, many years to come.
You mentioned it. There is not a whole lot of tougher places to hit than trying to hit the ball to right field at Oracle Park. Jesus and I were there together. You know, they have a park at Papago, their backfields in Arizona that is set to those dimensions. And when you just see it kind of in a minor league park type setting, it really kind of jumps out to you just how far it is, especially to right center. But Bryce Eldridge is one of the few players that's like, okay, it's still not going to affect him, but he can hit the ball out of pretty much anywhere if he makes enough contact. I would not throw him a whole lot of fastballs if I was a team facing the Giants for the next couple of weeks because the man can really, really drive a fastball. We're going to dive into, speaking of rookies, we're going to look at some of the rookies who already have stood out this year after this break.
Hiring the right people fast keeps your team moving forward without losing momentum. Every day a position stays open is a day you're missing productivity, creativity, and growth. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One thing I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast because it allows you to rapidly sort through candidates based on your preferences. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Just go to Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kratz, I'm going to steal a line right from the top here about MeUndies. A cut for every butt. I took a line that I feel like you would enjoy, but then you stole my thunder with show and tell. What do you have there?
Besides a huge Badooka dunk, this is my pair of MeUndies that I got. I'm not going to show you the other pair right now because I got them on, but it doesn't even feel like you have them on. Super soft, flexible, and yet holding everything together.
I love the 20 different styles, 100 different colors and prints, and the micromodal fabric is what you're talking about. Breathable, stretchy, unbelievably cozy. And right now, as a listener of FT, you can get cozy and spooky for less with deals up to 50% off at MeUndies.com/Foul and enter promo code FOUL. That's MeUndies.com/Foul, promo code Foul for up to 50% off MeUndies. Comfort that's made for fall.
And we are back. And it has been a really solid year for rookies. Jesus for us has actually gotten to check out. You said you're going to check out Bryce Eldridge. Got to see some of the other rookies. One of those who's really stood out, again, going back to spring training, me and you watching together, seeming like hitting, at the time, seemed like Nick Kurtz was hitting double after double after double. He's gotten to the big leagues, and he's turned a lot of those doubles into home runs. You look at what the A's have done this year. Nick Kurtz, Jacob Wilson, there are Denzel Clark in there as well. But Jesus, with Nick Kurtz, like, obviously I'd say he's the pretty heavy favorite to be the AL Rookie of the Year this year. But how comfortable are you that – where does this stand to you as far as rookie seasons we've seen in the last several years?
I mean, potentially one of the best. I mean, you've seen what he's been able to do. And I mean, over just this past weekend, hitting that 493-foot bomb to center field in West Sacramento. I mean, you just that's just unreal stuff. I mean, it was the furthest homeward tracked in the StatCast era. I mean, the power is legit, JJ. And we talked about this too in the past. You know, at the beginning of the season, watching him play on the backfields, was the power was unreal. The swing was unreal. You know, the body was there. Everything about it was going all into play. And I actually talked to Nick Kurtz recently, and the biggest thing that he said that the A's helped him with in becoming the player that he is was being himself, being the same player that they drafted out of Wake Forest, who they had one of one on their board the moment they started preparing for the 2024 draft, and be that player. And we saw that streakiness kind of come into play, and that's the way he describes himself as a hitter. Sure, we saw at the beginning of the year when he first got called up pretty quickly after tearing up AAA, that he was getting hits, but the power wasn't coming. And then after he hit that first home run, it came in bunches. And then at some point, it came in a quartet when he went on that four-homer game against the Astros. So, I mean, we're talking about one of the best rookie seasons we've seen. I think definitely a lock for the AL Rookie of the Year. And I think he's also cementing himself as like one of the more exciting players for years to come. I mean, it's so rare for a first base only archetype to have the profile that he has, to hit for high average, hit for high velocity, and hit all over the field. I mean, to say this is one of the best seasons we're seeing is an understatement. I think it's truly like history in the making that we're watching.
I would say one of the things that is historic about it is that he's doing this when started last year, he was at Wake Forest. This is one of the best seasons. Wrote about this earlier this year at baseballamerica.com. It's one of the best seasons we've seen for a player the year following his draft year. Bob Horner still wins the award for that because Bob Horner basically just jumped to the big leagues and was the best Bob Horner ever was, basically, in those first year and a half. But I think what might get lost a little bit in that, Jeff, we flip it over to the National League. It's hard to imagine, it's hard to explain why it would be flying under the radar at all, considering that Cade Horton is a Chicago Cub, and it's not exactly a team that's playing in a backwater that no one pays attention to. But the season that Cade Horton is having is also one that's deserving of a lot of attention, and one that probably really does stand out kind of like for what he's doing, not just now, but, you know, to years to come.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's sort of the thing that you take a step back and look at. You know, he's made 21 appearances, 20 starts this year, you know, 110 innings. The strikeouts have been fine and reasonable, but, you know, he's really kept runs off the board, got fairly deep into starts, you know, has managed to limit walks, limit a lot of contact and a lot of hard contact. And I think the thing that we've seen in terms of this evolution of Cade Horton this year from the guy that we saw the last 2 years, I think, you know, last year was a bit of a throwaway because he dealt with the injury and we don't really know how much that impacted the stuff early in the season and some of the numbers that we saw. But he really took that sort of 2023 version of himself, which was very successful, and started to, you know, add sort of a full spectrum of offerings within his pitch mix. And, you know, adding, he doesn't throw it a ton, but adding in a sinker off of his cut ride fastball that doesn't miss a ton of bats just gave him a different variation, a different look, a different way to attack left-handers and right-handers than he had previously. Also giving him something that, you know, ran pretty heavily to the arm side. You know, the sweeper, I think, took a step forward back to sort of what it had been previously, sitting 83 to 85 miles an hour with a little bit of drop, but, you know, about a foot of sweep, which was up from what we had seen the first 2 years with him. Has a curveball variation. The changeup has really performed very well. You know, between the changeup and the sweeper, both of those pitches have 35 to 45% whiff rates against each and were thrown fairly regularly. And then has sort of a slider that he'll mix in from time to time. It's kind of a different variation between the curveball and that sweeper. So, you know, I think it's one of these things that we've seen a lot of this year, right? There's always sort of a pitch, whether it's the sweeper, it was the cutter a few years ago, it was guys switching to sinkers last year. This year, it really seemed to be pitchers showing a wide array of pitches within their arsenal. And I think that's what's led to Horton having as much success as he's had, you know, for a potential playoff team and a team that, you know, frankly, was looking for a starter to step up like this. And it was Cade Horton. I think this also, you know, projects pretty well for his future in the next few years, because I think that, you know, things can change with the fastball shape, et cetera. There could be more bats that eventually get missed. I think the one knock that you have on him right now is he doesn't miss a whole lot of bats with his fastball. But the secondaries are all pretty good. And he has two secondaries in particular that are performing like plus to plus plus pitches right now.
Yeah, it's a 20% K rate this year, which is a little bit lower than maybe we would have expected. But as you said, he's got the full arsenal where it's working out pretty well. Do want to not ignore another, speaking of Chicago, Colson Montgomery. I was one of the ones early this year saying I'm a little worried about Colson Montgomery. He did get sent down. To his credit, really did kind of fix it in a lot of ways, improve it. At the same, the defense has gotten to be much better this year than the reports were a couple of years ago. He's really been a key part. It's not a great White Sox team, but it's a White Sox team that looks a lot better than the hopeless team who we saw last year, kind of circling the drain. This is a team that starting to show a little bit of life here. Still a little worried about the K rate long-term, 30%. You've seen his numbers kind of tail off. It's very power dependent right now, but the power is absolutely legit, which is something. And we want to give some credit to Colson Montgomery there as well. We're not done here. I see your comments, Uncle Ted. We're going to hit on one of them after this break.
Hey, if you're a card collector or you're looking to collect, buy, sell, trade, Arena Club's the spot. I'm going to tell you why. Because the old process, AJ, was very clunky. Buy a box, rip the pack, tons of commons, send it in for grading. And then finally, you get everything back. This is weeks and weeks, and you can start to try and sell the card. We have eliminated that with Arena Club, or they have. I act like I'm part of it, but in really one step.
Arena is your one-stop shop for everything. You get a card, you open a slab pack, the card is there, it's graded,
It spins around coolly, shows you 3D, the front, the back. You can look at the corners. You can look at everything. And then you get a decision. Do I want to keep it? Do I want to sell it? Do I want to trade it? It gives you an instant offer. You can buy it back and re-rip another slab pack and try for something else. Or you can keep it and hope the value goes up and sell it at a later date. It is truly the best spot to get cards.
20% off your first slab pack or card purchase can be had right now at arenaclub.com/FOUL and use code FOUL.
So Uncle Ted makes the point that Connelly early balled out. This is the second Red Sox rookie who we've seen brought up in recent weeks. Peyton Tolley, obviously, the other one. Jeff, you've been kind of, you keep close track of the Red Sox for us. You've been noting how their pitching staff just keeps, they've kind of really had some developmental wins. But what did you see from early?
Yeah, I think it might even be at a point where this year we're looking at maybe some even bigger developmental wins on the pitching side with the Red Sox than we saw with their hitting last year and their hitting development, which got a lot of discussion. And I think you look at Tolley and just added a significant amount of velocity. With early, I think it's dated back a couple of years. This was a guy that initially came out of high school and committed to West Point and played two seasons with Army before he transferred to UVA, pitched there, and then eventually got drafted in the fifth round by the Red Sox. But it's been a slow build. Ever since he sort of came into the system after the draft, and then especially early last year, we started to get pretty positive feedback from scouts, just in terms of this guy has a deep array of pitches, like we talked about in the last segment. Somebody that has, you know, the ability to hide the ball pretty well in his delivery, which I think is a massive part of the deception that we overlook from time to time. And always had great feel for the changeup. It's always been a plus changeup. I think it might get to a point where you might even call it plus plus. He can manipulate it a little bit and have it look a little bit more like a splitter. At other times, it will run sort of like a kick changeup will. He's got feel for, you know, three different sort of breaking ball shapes. And you know, knows how to land everything. And I think that's a big part of it, is there is command, there is control. He doesn't have the most outlier stuff in terms of spin and movement and velocity, but sort of is in that average range that he needs to be on the pitches, like the fastball and that sort of thing, where, you know, there, it's maybe not outlier. It's not a crazy sinker. It's not like your Savage's four seam where it's riding 21 inches or anything, but out of his slot, the plane that he creates, his ability to command that pitch and then sort of cascade or waterfall everything off of it, I think allows him to be really, really effective and will give you a variety of looks. You know, it wouldn't be shocking to me for him to find maybe more success down the stretch here than Tolley does, just because it's his, you know, second full year as a professional. There's been some buildup, the velocity is held for a little bit and all that sort of thing.
No, it's a name to watch, and the velocity really has picked up, which is part of what's made him such a breakout as a pro. Fun show again today. Jesus and Jeff are hitting the road for us to see more games, as we love to do here at Baseball America. Thank you for joining on the Hot Sheet Show, and we will see you again next week.